would, turn your Bibles to the book of John, the Gospel of John. We're at least highlighting sections of John, and I'm not sure how far, how long, or whatever, but we're set in John for quite a while. Even just the first chapter of John, we're basically going through and looking at how John presents Jesus using different titles, really. That's how I've kind of broken up the first 18 verses anyway. So last week we looked at, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So in reality, after we explained it, John is saying Jesus is God. Okay, that's in a nutshell, Jesus is God. He was there in the beginning, before time began. He was in the presence of God. He was face to face with God, and He Himself is divine or God. Okay, so Jesus is God. What we're going to look at today is just verse 3, at least the concept that's in verse 3. I'd like to read down through verse 18 again. That's kind of the passage that we're biting off here over a period of many weeks. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now the verse for today, all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Sounds almost like a tongue twister or something. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." Let's pray. Lord, bless our study, for we desire to more fully know of Jesus, so that we might have our proper perspective of the way we believe and the way we behave toward Him. Thank you for the Gospel of John, and we pray that you would just use your Word to grow us and change us as you desire. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Last week is on the front of the page here, okay, in your notes. So let's just go over that briefly before we go to the second side here. We looked at Jesus as God. We didn't use that term. We said in the beginning was the Word was the title here. And the series is, by the way, that you might believe. And we'll talk about that more maybe even next week or the week after. Just the emphasis of belief that John places in the Gospel of John. But number one, we looked at the existence of the Word. It said that in the beginning was the Word. It said when He was. And we mentioned that there's at least seven beginnings. And you see those there, eternity past, the beginning of the world, the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, the beginning of the church, the beginning of Paul's ministry, the title or characteristic of Jesus Christ, and the point of conversion or discipleship of believers. So our emphasis there is to help you understand correctly the Word of God and also to understand that context means everything. I think we used the word trunk last week. Is that the one we used? But the idea that it depends on how it's used in context, what it means. So when you see in the beginning, normally we think of the creation. At least that's what I go to. That's the first verse of the Bible. But this is before creation. It's kind of like we mentioned it's a backward arrow. And in fact, God is going both directions. The arrow's, He's infinite. He doesn't have a beginning and He has no end. Okay, so the existence. Jesus had the characteristic of what we call eternality. He's forever existent. He never came into existence. Well, wasn't He born? What was that? What? If you have a birth, don't you have a beginning there? Well, that was God taking on flesh. Okay, Jesus already existed. He took on humanity. That's what He gained by being born of the Virgin Mary. Okay, so He became God and man. He was already God. He took on man. Why did He have to become man? What's probably the major reason? There's other reasons. Yes, He had to be able to die. God can't die. Man can. Okay, he took on flesh so that He could die the death of the cross, okay, to pay for the sin of all humanity. Okay, so the existence of the Word was when He was. The presence of the Word was where He was. It says, and the Word was with God, and we use the term before. He was before Him, and I had Mary come up and stand before me. That's the idea. It's not just with, but actually in the presence of is the idea there. So he is from eternity past, and He's in the presence of God. That's not something people can claim or identify with, because even Moses, remember God said, when I pass beside you, I'll cover you, because if you see me, you'll what? Die. Okay, you can't be in the presence of God in the state we're in anyway, and I don't fully claim to be able to understand that or explain it, but that's the case. God is that brilliant, that holy. Okay, so but Jesus was in the presence of God. The Word was in the presence of God, and then the essence of the Word, what He was. It says, "In the beginning was the Word." That's when He was, and the Word was with God. That's where He was, and then it says, and the Word was God, or literally God was the Word. And the emphasis there is that He is God-ish or divine, okay? So He never had a beginning. He's eternity past. He's in the presence of God, which requires something very special, because you can't exist in the presence of God apart from, I know the angels cover their feet. Remember, the seraphim have six wings. We didn't talk about this last week. But they cover their feet and their what? Their face. And two with two they fly. So apparently, maybe the seraphim don't look upon God either because of His holiness. Okay? That's in Isaiah 6, I think, by the way. They said they have six wings, and with two they cover their feet, with two they cover their face, and with two they fly. Okay? But the essence, God is, Jesus is divine. You could translate that way. It could be an adjective, not just a noun. He is God. Okay, so the Bible clearly proclaims that He is God. And then we went through and said, well, it says the Word was with God. Or, who's the Word? Well, we looked at there, it uses the masculine, the word in Greek is a masculine noun, which really doesn't mean much. We said it's little help. But then it goes on to use masculine pronouns. It's not talking about an it. It's talking about a He. And then bottom line, other passages like John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh. And that's when you say, oh, okay, that's Jesus. Jesus became flesh, okay? And then elsewhere it says that He's the Word of God in the book of Revelation, for example. So that's what we talked about last week. Jesus is God. He is the Word that was from in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. That's Jesus Christ. He's God. Now turn your notes over and we're just going to look at the concepts found in verse 3. And by the way, there's only basically two. I've added a little more to kind of give us an understanding. Add a little more from elsewhere, not on my own here. But there's two concepts found in verse 3. Let me read it for you. It says, all things were made through Him. That's concept number one. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. That's number two. So you get that? There's two parts. So number one, Number one is the fact of Jesus, and I call it creatorship. So the word is fact. The fact of Jesus' creatorship, the fact that He created everything. It says, all things literally through Him became, and we're going to talk about this, the word became next hour, our next study session. Literally, it's all things through Him became. The fact of Jesus' creatorship. He's the one that created everything. The Bible says Jesus is that one that created everything. Okay? So not a hard concept to maybe get our brain around, but Jesus is the creator of everything. Okay? He made what? What did He create? Everything. It's all things. Okay? Everything. And the word things is really implied. It just says all or every, okay? Everything in the plural, everything. So the fact of Jesus' creatorship, He's the creator. That's a fact. John 1:10 brings it up and focuses on one area. It says He was in the world and the world was made through Him. And the world did not know Him. So we'll hit that again. And it's focusing specifically on the world. The word that you see, the word through, is D-I-A in the Greek. It's transliterated, dia. And we use that in English world, diagram, diaphragm, diameter. What's the diameter? That's one that we probably would... Not around, because that's peri, okay, which is also Greek, right? Okay, diameter is across or through. A meter is the measure, is a Greek word for measure. So measure through something, okay? So the diameter is this way. Perimeter means around. I mean, why don't they just say that again? We talked about that last week. But perimeter is like this, okay? It's the measurement around. So diameter is through. It can mean through or by means of. So Jesus is the instrument of creation. He's the one that actually did the creating, okay? So He is the instrument of creation. He is the creator. All right, so it's very specific. There's no real getting around it here, and it's just four words. All things through Him became, four words in Greek there. Now, the next thing I want to add is it goes into just a little more detail. By the way, when someone says that Jesus was created, how does this confuse them? Because remember we said that Jehovah's has said, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was a God, which you could translate that way, but you can't, it doesn't fit the rest of the context immediately or throughout the Bible, okay? Well, if Jesus created everything, how can He be a creature Himself? Make sense? Okay, if Jesus created A through Z, and everything in creation is A through Z, He has to be outside of that. Okay, if He's if he created everything, then he can't be a created something himself. He's outside of everything. Okay, does that make sense? He's outside of creation. If creation is everything and he created it, then Jesus has to be outside of creation. So he's not a God. He's not someone that was created and then created. He's not part of creation. He is the creator of everything. Okay? That's a little heavy. The second part here, it goes into more detail. It says, and without him, nothing was made that was made. That's the extent of creation. Okay? The extent of creation. How much of creation did he create? Well, we already said all things, but just in case we didn't understand that all means, help me out here, all. All right. And it says, it goes on to say here, without him, I put it literally in your notes there. It says, became, and literally it says, not one thing. You know, in the English, we make it a little smoother. Nothing was made that was made. Okay, but literally it says it's not one thing which has become. That's literal. It doesn't sound right because we don't talk that way. But I want to focus here. Without him. So if you take him out of the picture, nothing is in existence. Okay? Absolutely nothing. And it emphasizes the one thing here. I'm going to write it here. Without him became, it's O-U-D-E, and then there's a, it actually has a breathing mark, so it, you would pronounce it as hen, okay? And this is not even, and hen is one form of the number one. Okay? The translation says nothing, but it says it more specifically, not even one thing. So it kind of emphasizes it. Okay? Not even one thing that became was created without him. So it emphasizes, that's the extent. So all things were created by him. Okay, I get that. No, really, not even one thing came into being without him. That's the extent of creation. Jesus is the creator of, yes, absolutely everything. There's not one thing that exists apart from his creative activity. He is the creator of everything. Okay? So it enforces that idea. All right? It goes into more detail. Now, we are familiar with this passage, Colossians 1. It's in your notes here. Talking about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. That would relate to probably John 1, 1 and 2. Okay? He's the image. Image is not a fake part. He's the actual image of God. Okay. The firstborn over all creation. Firstborn might throw you off. I got a little note down there. This is kind of review. But firstborn can mean first created being and or that which has precedence over creation. So the idea is if you're firstborn, you're most important over creation. Okay, you're not created yourself. It's a status or importance, and it goes back to the Old Testament. A firstborn was a status, not an order necessarily, okay? And that's in your notes there. And notice here, verse 16, because he can't be the first of creation because he's not part of creation. Verse 16 of Colossians chapter 1 in your notes here says, for by him all things were created, Now let's just get it. What? Let's get all things, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Let's approach that from a different angle. Paul does in Colossians. He said, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist." Brings up a lot more information, but he's preeminent. It goes on to say in the next verse that we don't have in our notes, he's that he might have the preeminence. He's the creator that needs to be worshipped by us. But he's before all things, and by the way, he holds all things together. He sustains all things. All things consist. So not only did he create him, he keeps you created. Does that make sense? If you study any science at all, they tell you that, you know, atoms can't hold together on their own. They should fly apart. Positive, what are they called? The protons. They should fly apart, right? Positive and positive repel. Like repel. The negative should repel. You should fall apart. You say, some things I feel like I am. Well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about scientifically, you should explode. The chair you're sitting on is mostly force fields. And somehow it holds together. Well, we got a good idea of who's doing that. Because the Bible says that, okay? And just in summary of that point there, where? Any place. In heaven and on earth. And by the way, as you study the Bible, you see this term over and over again. But the Bible summarizes everything in two parts. Heaven and then earth. That's a creative statement. In the beginning, God created what? Heavens and the earth. Okay? It's an all-encompassing statement. And you see it all the way through the Old Testament and the New Testament. Heaven and earth. So it's not saying, okay, this planet and then heaven. No, it's talking about this planet and everything else outside of this planet. That's what it's saying when it says that. Okay? So where did Jesus create? Well, anything there is anything, Jesus created it there. Okay? He's responsible for it. What about what? Anything. Okay? Anything, anywhere, he created. How about who? If anybody exists anywhere, he created them. Okay? That's Jesus. That's the creator. Jesus is the creator. Not a creator. He is the creator. Anything, anyone, anywhere. All things. Without him, not one thing was made that has come into existence. That's what the Bible says. Now, that brings us to two more points here. Okay, number three is the purpose of his creatorship. This is outside of the text. Maybe it's implied in John 1:3, but it's not. He obviously did it for a reason, but the purpose, there's two parts here. Two points. I'll give them both to you. For worship, so that we would worship him, and for service. You might be able to add 2 points or more points to these 2 points. I'm not saying these are the only reasons, but these are two of the main reasons that God created us. Okay? Notice, for worship, Revelation 4:11, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." The act of creation turns around and brings us as creatures back to the Creator to worship him. That's the proper response. That is your proper response to God, is to honor him as the Creator. To worship him as the creator. And by the way, that's what they brought up. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? For you created all things. You are the originator. You made me, and therefore I'm yours to honor you. Romans 1:25, what's the problem? Yes, even for believers, even though Romans 1 is seemingly directing its attention to unbelievers, but I believe this is a huge issue. This is just a portion of the passage, but it says, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served, what? The creature. What do? We worship the creature rather than the creator. And I don't know how far this goes, because I think we are so clouded in our thinking that I'm not sure we can evaluate, but I'm not so sure we don't worship people. I'm reading a book that it's profound, but it's simple. It's a simple but profound book. But the author, Andy Stanley, said that whatever you put your attention on is who you worship. You don't have to fall down and, you know, kind of idea. Whatever takes your attention is what you are worshiping. Okay? So I'm not so sure. When I was in the airplane last night, they were announcing the football game. As we were flying from Dallas to apparently Green Bay won or something. But I'm saying I'm not so sure we aren't worshiping. I brought that up several years ago, and I had people actually get mad at me. But I would say, please stop and think, are we not worshiping people? Whether they're politicians or sports people or celebrities of some kind, or maybe even people that have lots of letters behind their names, or what, there's lots of reasons, criteria that we do. That doesn't mean we can't respect them for their abilities or whatever, but what are we worshiping? What are we focusing our attention on? I mean, how many people took 4 hours, is that how long it took, 4 hours? I'm guessing. 4 hours of their time in worship yesterday. The creature rather than the creator. Okay, and I don't know where to draw the line. I'm telling you, I'm just being honest and hopefully transparent with you. I don't know where fair use of your time stops and where worship starts. But I think if we become preoccupied with such people and such things, we have left and worshiped the creator or the creature rather than the creator. If you see a good basketball player, or a good football player, or a good politician, or I'm sorry, did I say that in a sentence? Use good and politician in the same. That's the enough time goes on. I could bring up a conversation I was having with some other people that were at the airport in Dallas, but I won't. But we think everyone should just automatically go to prison after the Congress. Kind of a joke, tongue-in-cheek thing. But 6 years limit and then go to prison. And then we'll let you out if we feel you've earned it. But where does it stop? We're to respect them. You can honor, people have worked hard to gain the letters behind their name, or they've accomplished much and look how much money they have. But at what point does that become worship? It should either, if it doesn't draw your attention to God, there's a strong reason to evaluate your attention. If it does not cause you to say, God, how awesome you are, to give somebody, I'll just pull Bill Gates out of the hat, okay? To give somebody the ability to create and to, maybe not create, but design and come up with stuff that could run basically the world. How awesome you are. If it doesn't reflect this back to God, we need to evaluate who we're worshiping. And if we say, I don't have enough time to spend with God, and yet we have endless time to watch our favorite TV shows or sports shows or chat online or whatever the case might be, we need to stop and evaluate. And again, are any of those activities necessarily wrong in and of themselves? I'm not saying that. But if they draw our attention away from the Creator rather than the and make us focus on the creature, I think we need to stop and evaluate, and maybe we're not seeing as clearly as we think we're seeing. Is that a fair statement? And by the way, Romans 1 says that they worshiped and served. They spent their time on the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. And that's the way that the world goes. And I would put forth to you today that we'll go the way the world goes if we're not thinking about it. We'll just go with the what? The flow. Right? You'll just become like the world. And by the way, I don't think you probably, you and I have, the world influences us, but we have our own sinful nature that likes to focus on things and creatures and creations other than God, right? The Creator. They might help us, but I don't know that I need help to worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. Okay? This. Worship and serve, yeah. Yeah, I think things can be it. Yeah, it goes back to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Okay, so yes, it's anything that's created, which would be all of the above, right? A person, place, or thing. Yeah, that's back to what? Macarius. What was that? Person, place, or thing, or idea. That's a noun. Okay. Anything would fit in that category. It can be worshipped. It could be anyone here, maybe guys more so than girls, anyone here ever worship your car? I mean, guys have a tendency to worship their car. And they think if they have a nice car, people will worship them. It's kind of neat that way, you know? I'm serious. It's possible to do that. And it's what we focus our attention on, what we value, and what our thoughts are on, and our actions are on, and all that. Now, the second one here is service. Notice the purpose of His creation is for us to serve Him, not to serve what He created. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. What's the rest of it? For good works. God's intent in creation is not for you to be selfish and self-serving. God intends for you to serve Him by doing good works. Is it possible to displace that with our serving of the creature rather than the Creator? And you can list anything under the category of noun, and you can worship that. I used to collect stamps as a kid. You can worship your stamp collection. You can worship music. You can worship money, of course. You can worship, some people worship feeling, as in, this makes me high, it makes me feel good, and so therefore, everything will become subservient to that. Anything. God wants us to serve Him, the purpose of His creation. The last one here, the results of creation. There are two that I listed. Again, we could probably list 200. But there's two. One is accountability. That I think hits home when God is the Creator, okay? The fact that He's the Creator. Hebrews 4:13, and there's no creature hidden from His sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must, what? Yeah. Guess what? At the end, if you're a believer, you will give an account for your worship and service to God or to the creature.
Okay? You'll give an account. The Bible calls it the judgment seat or the bema seat of Christ. Everything done in your body, whether it's good or bad, whether it remains or is destroyed. You know, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. God kind of gives us that analogy of our metaphor of our works. Okay? Worshipping and serving the creature rather than the Creator is at most wood, hay, or stubble. At least it's defying God and rejecting His right over you. But you'll give an account. If He's the Creator, which He is, God clearly says that without Him nothing was made that was made, then guess what? You will answer to God, because whether you believe in Him as your Creator or not, you will answer to God. It doesn't. What you believe about God does not change who God is and what He's done. Okay? Last one here, and these tie in. His authority. God has the right to tell you what to do. He made you. He's your Creator. Romans 8:39. By the way, this is a slightly different angle on this creation, this verse. Romans 8:39, nor height nor depth nor any other created things shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God has the right to tell you what to do, but also guess what? God is in control of everything, and nothing that He has created, and that encompasses everything, can separate you from the love of God. He has authority over all of creation. That's why He can cast out demons. That's why He can create or heal. That's why He can change your vile body to be like His glorious body. Philippians 1:23-21, I believe. All of that, it goes into the creation idea. Okay, so He's in charge of all of creation. So between authority and accountability, that should give us pause to think about how we are living today. What are we doing with our life? What are we doing with the creature versus the Creator? Jesus is the Creator. Worship and serve Him, because He is your ultimate authority and to whom you will give an account. John 1:3. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Let's pray. Lord, help us to acknowledge You and to act upon that acknowledgement that You are the Creator, and we are not to worship or serve the creature, but we are to worship and serve the Creator. And Lord, it changes the way we look at life. We constantly have to remind ourselves that we are not the center of our lives. You are to be the center of our lives. We can even worship ourselves, Lord, and please deliver us from that so that we might serve You rightly. Help us not to be those that act and decide and do things apart from Your direction, Your authority, Lord, because we'll give an account to You. Thank You that You sustain us. You keep us alive. And the very breath we breathe in this next moment is due to Your grace and active goodness. I pray that You'd bless our fellowship time now and our second session of study. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.